Thank you. Kia ora tātou. Nice to see everyone this morning. And it's been a bit of a crazy week, hasn't it? Like I've just, you know, reading the news, watching the news, all this sort of crazy stuff going on. Destiny Church, physically threatening and hurting people working in a library. So they think, you know, that their way of seeing the world should be imposed on everybody else. And then there's the drama around Israel and Hamas and swapping hostages and the pain and the grief for all the families impacted by leaders with huge egos who will happily throw people that are supposed to be under their care into war. In the USA, you know, threats towards Canada and Mexico and support for Russia's war against Ukraine and the idea of taking over Gaza. Where do we stop? So much going on. Our politics seem pretty complicated and awful, don't they? Yet in Jesus' day, it was probably just as unstable and messy. In our next section of Mark's Gospel today that we've just read, we see Jesus and his disciples in yet another encounter with forces out to challenge Jesus and his message of God's good kingdom. And this happens not in Gaza on the Mediterranean coast, but to the east side of the Sea of Galilee, in the area that we know today as the Golan Heights. You can see the Golan Heights is that sort of shaded grey area at the top right. And that little bit of blue lake stuff is the Sea of Galilee. For many years, the Golan Heights were a part of Syria. But in 1967's Six-Day War, the new state of Israel took over and started occupying the Golan Heights. Now, this area that is often in the Bible called the Decapolis, meaning 10 towns, it was an area where the people were mainly not Jewish. Jews don't look after pigs. And it seems this town had some pretty large pig farms going on. Ask Kitty about pig farms, because she knows all about that. So I learnt during the week. But I didn't learn much, but I need to. But I'd like to. Also, this man who comes to meet Jesus is living among the tombs, like our cemeteries. And that would make a Jew unclean every single day of the week. He's probably very un-Jewish and very unclean. And this area had been overrun by the empire, the Romans. About 100 years earlier, the legions had marched in and taken over, as they did everywhere from Britain to Egypt. It was very, very clear that they were in charge. Oppose them and get crushed. Most people saw them as the enemy, as Satan in the flesh, and they were hated and feared. And some people found that they were gripped by that evil force, internally as well as externally. Now, 2,000 years hasn't given us much more insight into this strange condition they called demon possession, and there is evidence of this sort of craziness in our world too. And no, I'm not even going to begin to try to unpack or explain that. It does seem, though, that this man who approached Jesus had become, from one point of view, totally obsessed with the powers that had taken over his country. And from another perspective, totally possessed by the legions of troops, of phantom invaders that had taken over his humanity. They'd given him superhuman strength, which has actually been witnessed in our day too, but had left him a human wreck. Naked, isolated, self-destructive. Trauma caused by the oppression of others has far-reaching consequences. And enter Jesus. And what Jesus does is dramatic and highly symbolic in this context. The vast majority of people in the area must have longed to see the Romans sent back the way they came into the Mediterranean Sea. And if we recall last week, with Jesus calming a storm on the Sea of Galilee, the sea is a very scary place for people, for it was thought that out of the sea came monsters, and many historical stories were of being rescued from the water. And Rome was seen as the biggest monster of them all. And Rome was unclean. And Rome was a nation of pigs, and the best place for Rome was back in the sea. And so here comes Jesus, announcing that God and God's ways were here and were changing everything. And he's coming face to face with someone obsessed and possessed by Rome and its unclean legions. What was going to happen? Jesus meets people in their deep need and distress, bringing calm and change and community. Jesus does what needs doing with incredible insight and symbolism and power and love for people. He sends the ideas associated with empire, power, domination, control, colonization, limiting self-determination of locals, and violence into the sea. People want the tank and the machine gun and the war horse. Jesus rides a donkey. People want the attack of the eagle. Jesus' spirit descends as a dove. People want to take up swords and keyboards and microphones and marches to make their message win. Jesus takes up a cross. People want the power of a roaring lion. Jesus comes as a slaughtered lamb. People keep trying to arm God with weapons and intimidation. God keeps trying to disarm us. What a contrast to the stuff we're seeing in the news at the moment with Destiny Israel and Trump. When we look at the bigger story going on here that Mark is leading us towards, we'll see Jesus himself ending up naked, isolated, outside the town among the tombs, shouting out as he is torn apart on the cross by the Roman Empire. In fact, by humanity, by all of us. And this is how the demons are dealt with. This is how calm is brought, how change is possible, and how community is conceived. Jesus is coming to share the experiences of humanity, to let the enemy do its worst to him, to take the full force of evil on himself and let others go free. And that's what this story shows us. This one man in deep human need and distress is met by Jesus. And what happens? Calm is experienced. Change happens. And community is encouraged. Because Jesus wants him engaged in real life stuff and telling people about what God has done, not to just come and hang out with him the whole time. And although we can't control and guarantee the miraculous today, wherever people are suffering today, the gentle healing message and presence of Jesus can be brought, leading to calm and change in community. And I'm sure many of us have experienced something of this, that in the hardest times, when our suffering and hardship is the greatest, when we have called out to Jesus and have been met in some way by his Spirit, we have experienced the compassion and the care, the empathy, the practical supports of community, that in all of that, that there has been experiences of calm, of change, and of community. The author of these words, Mark, he's asking the question, who is Jesus? Well, from how he responds when confronted and challenged, that Jesus, like in the storm last week, brings peace in the midst of our fears. And Jesus, with the possessed man today, brings calm and change and inclusion with community. And so in these stories, we are seeing that God is ultimately more powerful than our fears, more powerful than our weaknesses and our oddities and our isolation. So metanoi tato, let's pray together. God, we thank you for stories like this. They seem just so bizarre to us in our context here today in Aotearoa, but they do speak of your deep compassion, your empathy, your incarnation, your coming amongst us and understanding what it is like to be human and having mercy on us and doing something about it with your great power. And though it's different for us today in different forms of distress and need, we thank you that you are there, that you are with us, that you do bring calm, and that you are powerful to help things change. And that there is this incredible bunch of people around the world and within in our lives, community that are there. And so God, in these times that we might have faced or maybe are facing now, or maybe that in times that are to come of distress and need, help us to turn to you. Help us to receive you as the powerful God, able to meet us in those times. And so we pray for anyone particularly who's in that situation today, now, in particular distress and need, that your compassionate heart towards us would meet them right where they are. That you would bring your peace into their hearts and minds. That you would help them connect in community with those that can help them. And that you would bring healing and change. We thank you that you are strong. We thank you that you're good. Amen. I